Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Listeners, yes, another lovely day that the Lord has made, and this is, you know, our usual Sunday morning slot on Radio Africana, and this is Morning Dew. Lovely track there. Above all, yes, above all powers, above all thrones, you know, there's no one like our God. He is worthy to be praised. Let's just, in that same attitude, acknowledge Him for the privilege that is called today. Father, we thank You for yet another day. Thank You for the breath that You give to us. Thank You, Lord, for the week that has gone by. Thank You for very many activities. Thank You, Lord, for those we're able to fellowship with. Lord, we just thank You for all our brethren near and far, different activities that have been held during the weekend. We give You praise, we give You the glory, we really acknowledge You in all of this, and we seek You for direction. Ask that there be an abundance of Your Spirit in our midst today. Have Your way, take total control In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Remember those who one reason or the other can't be with us. Lord, you know their heart's desire. Restore. We ask for healing. We ask that you make them whole. We ask, Lord, you do the things that only you can do, that make you their redeemer, their, the one that is their healer, the one that can release virtue into every situation that they find themselves in. Lord, I pray there be a release of your healing power and grace upon them in Jesus' precious name. Good morning, lovely people. Welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. As always, it's my pleasure, Pastor Wally, to be with you. Okay, so we've been on a journey looking at being led by the Spirit. We had some extensive look at a couple of scriptures in the sessions gone by. Last session, I think in particular, we looked at some Psalms, Isaiah 47 verse 17. For those taking notes, Psalm 32 verse 8, we looked at that. Psalm 37 verse 23, Psalm 48 verse 14, you know, that's one of the scriptures we looked at. And I did mention, I think at some point, talking about, you know, having a good look into John chapter 14 and John chapter 6. So also we had mentioned, I think it's a Psalm 139, and we looked at the first 19 verses. So what I want to do is just look at a couple more, just few more verses in Psalm 139 to finish up, and just some things to ponder as we are being led by the Spirit. So Psalm 139, I think we had gone up to 19. Right, 21 says, I do not hate them. Okay, let's look at 20. It says, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. All right, so this is the psalmist talking. It says, I do not hate them, O Lord, who hate you. Sorry, I do not hate them who hate you. Okay, I do not loathe those who rise up against you. I hate them with perfect hatred. I didn't know there's something more than not wanting to hate people, and that's perfect hatred. I count them as my enemies. And 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Okay? And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. And that concludes Psalm 139. Basically what we're saying here, we recognize that in our journey, as we're being led by the Spirit, there's opposition. There's no going around the bush or beating around the bush concerning that. There is a warfare. We are called to fight a good warfare. There is an arch enemy that we have, and at every point, you know, in our journey, he wants to resist us. He wants to create distractions. He wants to cause delay, you know, get you to a point of doubt, fear, unbelief. What is he not going to throw in your direction? But we recognize him as an arch enemy, and so we know that those who don't believe in the Lord are not with the Lord, and so we are not them be not being on the Lord's side, then we are not in the camp with them either. All right, but the important thing here is down in 23, it says, search me, O Lord. So remember, we started Psalm 139, says, you know, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. This is Psalm 139 verse 1, and says, you know my sitting down and my rising up, and you understand my thoughts afar off. Okay, you comprehend my path and my lying down. So we see when we do examine the whole of 139 to find out that there is a lot about us the Lord knows, even more than we can understand and comprehend. And so, you know, this conclusion of that Psalm 139 is saying, Lord, since thou knowest my beginning, my end, my members, you know, my thoughts afar off, my rising and my sitting down, you know my moods, my swings, my seasons, the challenges I face, you know, you just come humbly and say, Lord, search me, you know, and you know my heart, search me, right? It says, try me and know my anxieties. You know, you're just yielding literally to the Spirit to lead you. You're literally yielding that He will examine you. Whatever is not in conformity with the will of God, whatever is contrary to the will of God, whatever seed the enemy may have planted that is not the planting of the Lord, we want to just bring ourselves, we bring our hearts. So it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. It says, try me, you know, and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, it's so important as we're looking at being led by the Spirit. That's a very good psalm that helps us to understand this important ministry of the Holy Spirit, His ministry of guiding us into all truth, leading us. And there's so much in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Every believer should make every effort at some point to get acquainted, not just with His ministry, but the personality of the Holy Spirit, so that you can tune into His voice, you can hear His voice, you can learn how to create an atmosphere, okay, where you are still, and you know, you can come to know, you know, things about what God has for you by virtue of revelation and insight, you know. So that's so important. So let's just have a little peep into John chapter 14, and I want to read this. The bulk of this chapter is Jesus speaking, and you know, it begins with, let your heart not be troubled, in verse 1. Okay, you believe in God and believe also in me. And this was where he was having a discussion, because he knew that his ministry was coming to an end, and he was just trying to give them some encouragement, things that they may have to refer to later. And this is where he started to speak about, you know, things that they may not fully understand, and that he would not leave them in that state of not understanding, but that he will ask the Father. So we'll get to that verse very soon. But here he says, in my Father's house there are many mansions, and if we're not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So he was leaving them and making them know, listen, I will not be here with you. We're not going to carry on this teaching, okay, as I'd intended, okay, and as you will have hoped, because of course Allah wanted him to stay longer and all of that. But he was coming to the end of his assignment, and he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, right, to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So those were some of his parting words, you know. And when we jump down further, there's a couple of things you were saying. He says, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he reiterated that. And if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. All right, so he was just making them to understand. Some of the things he spoke were not really clear at that time, but with the fullness of time, okay. And he went on to say a couple more things, and then we look at verse 13, okay. 12, he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, all right, he will do also, and greater works than this he will do, because I go to my Father. So once again, he was reiterating that he's going to the Father, but he was also reassuring them that the things he had demonstrated, the works that he did, they will be able to do it. And so there was a completion of what he had been teaching them, and there was the assurance that if they continued in the things he had revealed to them, was teaching them, that they will be able to do the works that they saw him do, and even greater works. Okay, and whatever you ask in my name, as you progress, I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, okay, I will do it. So, you know, this is a very deep farewell kind of, you know, ministration to the. Now he says in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So this is where some of the instructions start, you know, they're very important instructions in John chapter 14. And he goes on in verse 16 to says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. So this is where we begin to tap into the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So here in this verse, he's referred to as another helper, okay, that he may abide with you forever. Now you can see what we're saying here. His ministry is to come alongside with you, is to be with you, is to abide with you forever. And as you study more on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how he leads us, how he guides us, we begin to find things like he's an advocate, he's a comforter, okay? From legal terms, he advocates, he gives counsel, okay? He directs us concerning the will of God, that which is revealed, you know, to him, he reveals to us. And you know, it begins to show some deeper dimensions of the actual ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth is another name. So he's revealing the truth, okay, whom the world cannot receive. And so you are a privileged few to be able to receive the ministry and to be able to connect with the Spirit of the Lord, okay, because it neither sees him nor knows him. So they don't see him because he's a spirit, and they don't know him because they don't have a relationship with him. But you know him, and he dwells with you and will be with you. Okay, so that's verse 17. All right, and it goes on and says, I will not leave you or forsake you as orphans. I will come to you. All right, so when we begin to study, just even those few verses there, we begin to get some of the inkling, you know, the personality of the Holy Spirit has a very multifaceted, that's the way I'll put it, multifaceted ministry in guiding into all truth. Okay, he's a helper, he comes as an advocate, he's the comforter, you know, he instructs us in the way that we should go. And we are talking about walking in the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God. So there's a lot in our journey as believers that is tied around the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we've been looking at being led by the Spirit. And so chapter 14 really throws a great deal of light on the importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this can be explored with a deeper Bible studies, and you know, in the course of your own personal study. Okay, and then of course we talked about you know, the fact that his sheep know his voice. This is John chapter 10, I think we looked at that. Let's look at that. John chapter 10 and verse 7 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So that's very clear. Well, he started that discourse early in John chapter 10 from verse 1. He says, most assuredly I say to you, okay, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door. So there's a way you are allowed to come in to his flock, the sheepfold. If you climb in by some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So it's important to be in the sheepfold. It's important to have this relationship with the good shepherd, okay? And that is what qualifies you to be able to have access to this promise of the Spirit, this promise that he was making to his disciples, okay? It says, but he who enters by the door, right, is the shepherd of the sheep. Okay, to him the doorkeepers open. So those who come in the right way, that's what I said. And remember in John chapter 14, we're looking at, he says, I am the way, the truth. So there's a prescribed way to come in, there's a prescribed relationship, and you must come acquainted with that way and follow the protocol for you to come into the sheepfold. Anyone that tries and comes in illegally, then you not get the benefits that are being discussed here. Okay, it says, to him the doorkeepers opens and the sheep hear his voice, okay, and he calls his own sheep, okay, by name, and leads them out. So the, you know, it's a very interesting relationship that we're being highlighted here for us, this very interesting relationship. And it's something I just want our listeners to understand, okay, concerning our relationship with the one that leads us, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so a couple more things there in that same John chapter 10. He says, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, okay, for they know his voice, right? Yet they will not by no means follow a stranger. So this is very, very clear. So this concept of being led is tied to your knowledge of your shepherd, okay, to the conversation, the relationships, the intimacy, whatever is carrying on between the shepherd and the sheep is very important. You cannot look at it from afar, desire it, and then it doesn't work like that. You have to come into this relationship. You have to be adopted into the household of the Lord. You have to become a member of that flock in the prescribed way. All right, so now let's look at Isaiah 42 is another, you know, favorite scripture that can help us here. It says, I will bring the blind by the way, and they that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. So this is leading those who are blind. He will bring them into a path that they have not known, okay? And he says, I will make darkness light before them and crooked paths straight. All right, these things will I do unto them and not forsake them, okay? And that's great news. So this is an Old Testament, you know, Isaiah 42 verse 16, you know, reiteration of the Lord's promise. You know, the entrance of the word brings light, okay? We come in contact with the personality that is the word of God, all right? And we're talking about a relationship with him who is the good shepherd. And we're just looking at his, you know, interaction with his disciples before he left them, okay? Or when we're about to leave them, and he was making this promise to them about this personality who will carry on from where he's left off. Some other parts talk about many things he wanted to share with them, many things he was not able to settle down and explain to them. The Spirit will continue, you know. So it's almost like you had a teacher that took a couple of your modules, but you still have some other modules to complete, modules, and now there's bringing in another teacher who will carry on, you know, the same ministry. But in terms of your attaining, you know, your end goal, in terms of you being able to do the things he said he was able to do, and even greater, he says you will attain to that. Of course, John chapter 8, I think 31 and 32 tells us, if you continue therein, okay, you will come to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So it's not a hopping when you feel like. There's a continuity, there's a module, there's a process that we're encouraged to come into, and as we continue in that process, as we are being led by the Spirit, then with time, with consistency, you know, then we begin to, you know, come to know the truth. We begin to understand, you know, certain things. We'll take a break now, all right, and then we'll come back and just carry on looking at some more scriptures and some more important points to consider when we're talking about being led by the Spirit. See you after the break.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name? Would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean.
Lovely track there, yes, it's because of who we are, and he determines who we are. You know, when you're talking about you, who you are as a Christian, remember that question that he asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Our identity is in Christ. You know, in him we live, in him we move, it's in him that we have our being. So important. And who are we that he's mindful of? Who are we that he demonstrates his love for us? Who are we that he paid such a great price? You know, and it's something we really all, as you know, Christians have to constantly remind ourselves. He paid the price. He went to the cross. You know, he took upon himself the chastisement, you know, what should have been our punishment, and we are forever grateful to him. You know, and so when he decides to carry on with his reconciliation plan, to take us into the full will, the full man, the full mandate of heaven on the plan of God for our lives, we must really take it seriously. So he came to show us the way. He said he is the way, and he came to start off, you know, start the ball rolling, as it were. And he's committed his disciples, and we are also beneficiaries of that, you know, that we will have the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you know. So when we are asking God's direction, when we are being led by the Spirit, it's really, really, it's worth your while. It's worth your investing of time. You know, you're talking about direction and counsel that will grant you great results. All right, so it's something we must invest, you know, and be intentional. There's just nothing better than being in the center of God's will for your life. All right, and his plans are always the best of plans. You know, his ways, he says his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are not like our thoughts, you know. And we need to subscribe to the highway. We need to subscribe to his leading by the Spirit. Now, one very important key to being led by the Spirit is determining to be led by God and nothing else. Now, this is so important, because for a lot of us, one of the things the enemy likes to do is give you options, you know, create distractions. And it's subtle how we can derail from our focus, from our being committed, you know, from having our eyes fixed on him. Remember the story of Peter walking on water, you know. He said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come. And they said, okay, come. And beckoned to him to come. And as long as he was focused on the master, focused on his instruction of the master, he did the impossible. He was able to, you know, carry out a supernatural feat by walking on water. But in the same couple of minutes, in the same vein, the same man who was walking on water in proper obedience began to lose sight of the focus he had on the master and his instruction. And when he observed the wind boisterous, he began to sink. I don't know how many of you have started off and you know, wow, I've had an incredible time with the Lord. I'm hearing His Spirit, but then we're distracted. And then we find that certain things that we're capable of doing, we are not able to sustain. And so there's a sustaining power in our being consistent, in our being focused, okay? And so one very important key, you know, being led by the Spirit, is that you need to determine to be led by God and nothing else, okay? To be focused on Him and Him alone. Now, that may sound like, you know, it's a no-brainer. It's a, you're just reading it and like, oh yeah, okay, I want to do that, okay? But when we face it, and let's be honest with ourselves, we've all been led by other things, all right? And we've led things like money, our careers, circumstances, pressure, outside opinions, make decisions for us. And that has always landed a lot of us in places we didn't expect. So instead of being led by things, we must look to the inside where the Spirit of God lives, okay? He lives big in us. All right. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27 says, that our spirit is the light that shows the way. So the same Spirit that raised Jesus is on the inside of you. There is light within you, but that light needs to be activated. That light needs to have expression. That light needs to minister to the different parts of your being. It needs to shine. He said you don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. So the purpose for having the light is that it should bring illumination. It should be revealing, okay? Every darkness should be dispelled. You know, the entrance of the word, which is the light of the, you know, which is also life and light. It says the words I speak to you are life. These words I speak to you, they are light. So the entrance of the word brings light. It brings understanding. Okay, so we must let that Spirit that is life and light find expression in and through us. So that means instead of making pros and cons, maybe it's this, maybe it's that kind of list, we can be more precise, knowing that we're being led in the right way by the Spirit, instead of trying to reason things out on our own. All right, Bible says it's not by power, it's not by might, it's not of Him that wills. So it's not by you making up your mind, I'm going to read this, I'm going to do that. That is not what cuts things in the Spirit. It's by the Spirit of God leading. It's by you connecting with His wisdom. It is by you getting counsel and being led by the Spirit. That is what gives you, and it's a very thin line, you know, when you think, okay, I remember the way somebody put it some years ago to me. That thing you are thinking of doing right now, who told you? You want to do something now in the next few minutes, just pause and ask yourself, what thought informed what you're about to do? Was that the leading of the Spirit, or is that your mind, or were you observing other people or trends or what somebody else said? You know, we can easily be distracted by all these other options, by all these other voices. And so this concept of being led by the Spirit, all right, it's so important. So rather than making a pro or con list or reasoning things out on your own, you can go to the wise counsel, the divine counsel, the one who is called the counselor, the advocate. All right, he's like a legal counsel. Think about it. Sometimes you're trying to make decisions on your own, but you're best having counsel, you're best having legal representation. You've got that Spirit, and He will always be with you. You know, and Bible says, we looked at that in Psalm 139, He will be with you forever. He will be with you. This is the promise of God to you. So you have this confidant, you have this counsel who has counsel for you, okay? And I pray that we will learn to hear His voice, tune in, and make sure that every decision and every action we want to take is being informed by a thought or an instruction, you know, that comes from the Spirit. So if we determine to seek God until you understand what He wants you to do, that should be your mandate, okay? Make sure that you are seeking the face of the Lord, you are consistent. Remember, he said, if you continue in these things, you will come to know the truth. So there's discovery, there's revelation. I've mentioned several here that the Lord will start with an invitation. The Lord will start with a prompting, whether that's a vision, whether that's a dream, whether that's a still voice, an audible voice, whichever way he chooses to speak to you, then you must journey in that revelation. I think the apostle in his counsel to young Timothy, he says, even that prophetic anointing and grace that make a good warfare with it. So there's a purpose for the prophetic word. There's a purpose for that counsel that you have been given. You must know how to war a good warfare with it, how to use it to your advantage. When you are led by things on the outside, you are relying exclusively on your own natural senses and ideas to lead you. Okay, even your emotions, that's another thing, and these are not necessarily reliable. But one thing is for sure, you can trust the counsel of the Spirit, you can trust the leading of the Spirit. You're trying to make decisions and go in a direction on your own. He says, in all your ways acknowledge him. Okay, so we must be reflective about this reality. All right, so there's a leading of the Spirit. That's what the Lord intends us to benefit from being in that relationship. And so you must also invest time in that relationship, okay, and be reflective on this truth, be reflective about this reality, okay. And when you look at it in hindsight, think of the many decisions that you took in the past without his counsel. Look at where they led you. The Bible talks about there is a way that seems right to a man. Just be reflective, rather than just get up tomorrow and then we carry on again and we carry on again. And what's that cliche? If you continue doing the same thing and you are expecting a different result, it's not reasonable. You probably need to be checked, you know, that's in that context, you know. So come on, people, if we look back and it's not produced, it's not been successful, who has been leading you? Which thought was driving you? What informed that decision? What informed that action? Were you instructed? Was it the leading of the Spirit? And if not, then you need to make some adjustments, you need to make some alignments. What was the result? It's not rocket science, just look back, you know. And so Proverbs chapter 3 and 5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay, lean not on your own understanding. And the Bible talks about, you know, if we are consistent with the word, we'll come to the place of understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You know, the psalmist talk about delight yourself in the word of God, delight yourself in his counsel. Okay, and if you make that your focus today, you will come to a place of understanding. All right, so the message version of the same scripture post, it says, listen for God's voice in everything you do. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. Wow, he's the one that will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. It's nicely put in the message version. You know, our human understanding is so limited. You know, when the psalmist was explained to us in Psalm 139, and he was talking about the knowledge of God, the vastness of his knowledge is beyond comprehension, is beyond anything that we can figure out. And so just know that God is all-knowing. Remember, we talked about him being aware of all the options, all the possibilities. He's well acquainted. It doesn't matter how things swing, there is nothing that will take God by surprise. But God knows everything. Yes, he gave you a brain and he wants you to use it. There's no doubt about that. But sometimes he's leading and the so-called logical direction don't match. All right, rational reasoning doesn't make it for faith. Faith is not rational. Faith is not reasoning. Okay, faith is not something that is traceable or you can tie to logic and rational thinking. Not at all. So they are completely, you know, they're not roommates, let's put it that way. Okay, they're not compatible. So always go with his direction. You don't want to rely only on your own understanding, because you don't know everything. You're not aware of all the options and the possibilities that you need to know. But when you are having the leading of the one to whom nothing is impossible, the one before whom there is nothing that is hidden, yes, you know he will lead you and he will guide you, and he desires to. He wants to lead you. Wants to. Remember, we talked about him having a plan for your life, you know, and wanting to lead you, you know, into understanding and the unfolding of his plan for your life. You know, so that's just something I think we need to consider. We'll take another break now, and we'll come back after the break and just kind of round up on our session on being led by the Spirit and the kind of things we have picked on, and maybe make some, you know, proper commitment to our journey as we are being led by the Spirit. See you on the other flip side of the break.
What it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Imagine when all I would do is forever.
Morning, you're joining us. We just had a little break. We're continuing, or we're trying to round up our session on being led by the Spirit. And you know, we talked about how important it is to make sure that our focus is totally in being led by the Spirit of the Lord, and that there are many distractions, you know. And so, you know, particularly our minds, you know, particularly things happening around us, the opinions of other people, the trends, you know, where we're living. Oh, a big one is our culture and our tradition. Oh boy, I see that over and over and over again. Believers, and they haven't changed nothing, very much like where they came from. I'm like, do you understand what transformation is all about? And that's a really big one, you know, the way we grew up, the traits we've picked up from our background and our culture. You know, the concept of the word is a completely different culture, trust me, in the kingdom. And there has to be an evidence of change. There has to be an evidence of, you know, some transformation taking place. And the Lord will help each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Okay, so that song, lovely song there, I Can Only Imagine. Now, that just reminded me of Ephesians chapter 3. So that we always remember, and it says, be able to comprehend, you know, this is a prayer, that Christ may dwell in us, in our hearts through faith. This is Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that, you know, you being rooted and grounded in love. So everything about the redemptive plan is God's love being expressed to us. And so because he loves us, he has redeemed us, he's trying to make a way to come back into that relationship we lost because of sin, because of the fallen nature. We know all the drama that happened, and this is God's reconciliation plan. But we are being led by the Spirit into the expectation that the Lord has in living a life that is righteous, okay, the prescribed way of living, the prescribed way of making decisions, the prescribed way of our walk with him. Okay, and he says, and that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, the width, the depth, and the height of this whole expression and demonstration of God's love. You know, God's love is just who am I, why would you consider us? But in spite of our shortfalls, in spite of, you know, our condition, you know, I think it's in Romans chapter 7, you know, the writer is lamenting, who will save me and deliver me from this wretched man that I am? That sometimes, and this is coming to our logic and what do you call it, reasoning, he says, I know what is good. Okay, that's good, to have knowledge of what is good. I know what I should not do, and that's good just as well. Okay, but when it comes to doing what is good, I find that there's a challenge. Anybody been there before? So it's not mental assent, you know. Some people say, oh, I believe the scripture, I believe it. The devil knows and believes God too, okay, and he trembles. So big deal. It's going to require more than mental assent. It's going to require more than you just believing. It's going to require a step of faith, okay. Faith without works is dead. So there's a part where the things we believe in, our believing in the leading of the Spirit, our believing that God has a plan for us, our believing that we acknowledge him in all that we do, needs to be demonstrated. It must be seen in our decision making, it must be seen in our walk with him, it must be seen in the kind of results that we get as children. He says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are sons. So that's the expectation, that you would be led by the Spirit, and you know, in all your decision making, in all your ways, acknowledge him, trust him with all your heart. Okay, so back to Ephesians, you know, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. All right, so he dwells in your heart through faith. He dwells in your heart because you have believed, okay, that you've been rooted and grounded in the love of God, may be able to comprehend. So there are things we have to comprehend with all the saints. What is the width, the length, the depth, and the height? Okay, so there's a comprehension, there's an understanding that we have to come to in our journey in life as we are being led by the Spirit. And he is the one, he says, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So this love we're trying to, is beyond knowledge. Okay, it's beyond anything that your mind can grasp or fully put your, it's very deep, all right? And that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that is his desire, that's his expectation. You can imagine what that is, all right? So there's a lot that the Lord wants to give expression in us and through us to our world. And so we must be led, we must be in alignment, we must come to a place of understanding, we must be growing, we must come to the come into the unity of the faith. So there's a place where we with all the saints come to this unity in our understanding of the love of God, and we come to the fullness and stature, okay, of Christ. So there's a stature of Christ that we are being developed into, we're growing into. We come as children, but he wants sons of God. And so there's a growing, there's a maturing, and he's the one that's instructing us, bringing us to the full stature of the man Christ. May the Lord help us there in Jesus' name. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, and according to the power that is working in us. So he's able to do above anything we can imagine, anything that we can try to grasp with our mind. God is able to do the things that eyes have not seen. Okay, he's able to do the impossible. He's able to utilize your willing heart to bring about supernatural manifestation, okay, expression of his glory. You know, say, for whom he did for no, he predestined. So every one of us that he knew before we're conceived in our mother's womb, God has a plan for you, and he wants you to understand that plan. But it takes a consistent walk with him and being led by the Spirit, that you may walk in the fullness of what God has for you. And I pray that the Lord will help us all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, lovely people, it's been a really interesting couple of sessions here. We've been looking at being led by the Spirit. I hope it's been beneficial to you, you know. And again, remember, we have these archived. You can always refer to the app that you have on Radio Africana and go into the archives and take your time and do your own diligent study. Like I've always said, the Holy Spirit is always there to lead and to guide you. You've got the scriptures there. Some of you have amazing library. Spend some time to get yourself meditating, understanding, you know, being taught, study to show yourself approved unto God. You know, we're workmen, we're called to do works, great works, but we have to be trained, we have to be fashioned, we have to come under the command of the one who is in charge. We have to come under his authority and his power, and it's only as we align with him and know how to come under his authority, come under the leading of the Spirit, that we can be vessels through whom power can be delegated, power can be released into our life, into our, you know, life situations and circumstances. What I always say, I want to recommend, I know some of you have got your basic degree, but from your spiritual standpoint, maybe you need to try your MSc, okay? And that's your master's in situations and circumstances. God wants you to become a master in every situation and every circumstance that you are, you know, confronted with. And it's possible you will be able to overcome whatever comes your way, but you must be committed to the leading of the Spirit. You must be committed to your meditating on the scripture, coming to know the truth. And he says, if you continue therein, you will come to know the truth, and it will set you free. Now, this setting free is not just our salvation. That's the beginning of our deliverance. There's a whole lot we need to be set free from: our habits, our mindsets, you know, culture, tradition, the way we were brought up, things we had, things we didn't have. So some things you have, maybe you need to cut off. Some things you lacked, maybe you need to get some support there. You know, whatever it will take, the Lord helping us, he will lead us in the way that we should go. Father, we just want to thank you and bless your name. We appreciate you so much for this session of being led by the Spirit. We pray that as we leave from here, your presence, your Spirit will still guide us and lead us, and that we'll go into deeper intimacy and being led by your Spirit to be able to achieve the expression of your glory in us, through us, and to our world. Lovely people, till we meet again, same time, on the same channel here on Radio Africana. God bless you and have a great Sunday. Bye for now.
Your presence a refuge to me, where I am always welcome. Your arms a resting place, where I can always go. Your spirit is calling me, and I answer.
Thank you. Allowing me to see myself the way.